The message this evening, we're going to be looking at what we see, that we all matter to God. And as we think of that, I want for us to consider if we want to talk about a grave injustice that's taken place in the world. It was the perfect lamb, the perfect Lamb of God died on the cross at Calvary for you and me. And ever since the sin of man in the Garden of Eden, we've been on a quest of equality, and it's not going to happen because we had a relationship with God that's been severed. And so many times I think that we're looking for things in this world that are never going to be achieved in this world. And what I want for us to do tonight, and I want for us to think about this, is there are things that are going to continue to go on in the world, as Paul said 2,000 years ago in Romans, that are just, that have been wrong, and that'll continue to be wrong. But that does not change God's feelings towards us. And so we're going to take a look at some things this evening that as we share, it is my responsibility as an evangelist of God's word not to bring you up to speed politically. It is my obligation to bring you up to speed spiritually. And I try to do my best to do that. Now, with that and with that training, then you make your own political decisions based on what the Word of God says. And so I'm not discarding Romans 13 by any means, but at the same time, we can't hang everything that we... There is a book that we have of 66 books, not just one chapter in Romans that we follow. So, we all matter to God. There's no doubt that we are all different. Amen? I mean, there are some of you out there that are just really different, right? And there's one up here that is just really different. Many people have been raised to mistrust or to stay away from what is different, right? Right? Yeah, we have. I mean, we're even told that from the youngest of age on our sports teams, right? If they don't like this team, then right? And so, you know, if you're a Cubs fan, then you probably don't care too much for the Cincinnati Reds or the St. Louis Cardinals specifically, right? And if you're a Tigers fan, you know, sometimes you just despise your own team, you know? it's just the way it's been recently. But anyway, so we're told to kind of stay away from the different, those things that are different than us. But the great creator, the God of heaven and earth, could have made us all exactly alike, right? He could have. But guess what? Take a look around. He didn't. And why is that? I think it's because God loves variety. Matter of fact, we've even got a little phrase we use. I don't know if it's a around the world phrase, but at least we've used it in this country, or I've heard it used, that variety is the spice of life. See, you've heard it, right? And so what's the matter? We don't want things to be spiced up anymore, right? In a world that is drastically divided, I'm going to let you know this. And I mean it with all of my heart. In a world that is drastically divided, it is only Jesus Christ that can unite and bring unification to everybody. And that happens by being in Christ, being a Christian, and being a part of the church. That is what is needed to unite all people. Scripture tells us that if we are prejudiced or that we are partial for any reason, then we're going to have to answer for that sin. Well, that's pretty bold of you to call it a sin. I call it a sin. You know why? Because the Bible calls it a sin, and we're going to get there in just a moment. But no matter where you go around the world, you will always find someone that does not like someone else. This is not just an America problem. Right? This is not just an America problem. This is a people problem. James chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, "If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture," what's the royal law? Do we know? "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Right? "Then you are doing well." Are we doing well? I get along really well with my neighbors because we don't ever talk. Right? Is that right? No, that's not what they're talking about. As we've seen from other parables and lessons that Jesus taught, who is our neighbor? And I think somebody touched on this in a lesson not too long ago. Anyone that we come in contact with. Anyone that we come in contact with. And you shall. And so how easy is that? To love anyone, to love everyone as you do yourself. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin. See why I said partiality, showing partiality was a sin? I didn't just make that up. That's in the Bible. And showing partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. If we want to be more like God the Father and we want to be more like Jesus Christ and we want to have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, then we need to see people as the Godhead sees people. Right? We need to see people as Godhead, as the God, from the Godhead's perspective, we are all pathetic. Right? As I said, what started this? This started thousands of years ago in the garden. As soon as Adam and Eve broke the equality barrier with God, as far as the relationship status. From the Godhead's perspective, we are all a pathetic people. We are in need of love. We are in need of help, and we are in need of salvation. And so there's some things I want for us to consider as we move through this, and as we're told a couple different places in Scripture, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Take heed lest ye fall. Consider some of these, the following examples of God all throughout the Bible, using all sorts of different people to be drawn together. For what purpose? For what purpose? And I started really just looking at this, and I started being able to go through, and by no means is this an exhaustive list that they're gonna show forth up here, but we'll get to looking at it. But these are just a few things in a few short minutes that popped into my mind that it was bringing different types of people together, and tell me if we don't believe that when that happens, it's to be for the glory of God, right? And all of the, and these, like I said, these are just a few that I've looked at. I don't know, I maybe got 6, 8, 10, or 12, something like that on here. But anyway, all these passages that prepare our hearts for service to those that are different. And how have we established tonight who is different from you? Hal, who's different from you? Everybody else, amen? Amen. So, okay, so Hal did tell me, I don't know if it was a Father's Day joke or, you know, a dad joke or anything, but because he was saying that wasn't a good joke this morning. It was a good joke, I thought. But anyway, he's like, so why could not the skeleton cross the road? Because he didn't have the guts. No, I don't know. Yeah, but they weren't laughing with you. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, I know. You're right. You're right. You are correct. See, now that one, there we go. See, the truth works, right? All right, so anyway, let's look. Joshua chapter 2. Anybody know what we're going to talk about there? Rahab, a Canaanite harlot saved by Israel. And what else did she have? She was in the lineage of our Savior. Jeremiah 38. Jeremiah, a Jew, befriended Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian. Jonah. We've got a whole book. We've got a whole book in the Bible talking about how one race hated another race. of people. And I will say this, I just believe we're all part of the human race. A book about a man of God, a man of God that had a struggle, that he was prejudiced against those of a different nationality. Matthew chapter 8. How about the centurion that asked for help for his servant? I don't know what nationality the servant was, but we do know that when this centurion of the Roman cohort came and asked Jesus for help, that there was barriers being crossed there. Mark chapter 5, the Gerizim man that was demon-possessed. Luke 20, when Jesus says, give unto Caesar what is his. Well, was that, we didn't really talk to Caesar. No, but he's telling you how to get along with him. John chapter 4, Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Acts chapter 8, Philip and the Ethiopian. Acts chapter 10, Peter had a whole lesson given to him directly on what this was about with the concerning the Gentiles, and that's you and me. Just these few examples, and the Bible is full of many more which are given, so that we can notice the differences in us all and move past the separation and move toward unification. You know why? Because we all matter. We all matter to God. Clear back in the Old Testament, we've pointed it over and over and over again. God was making a way to bring the Gentile world to the point of salvation. He didn't have to do that. He didn't. After Adam and Eve sinned, he could have left us all in the lurch, spiritually speaking. But he chose not to do that. Why is that? Because we all matter. We're reminded in Paul's sermon to those in Athens that we, mankind, all come from one man. Or some translations will even say, we come from one blood. We come from one blood. The fact is, we all began with one blood, and only we all can be saved by one blood. Huh? Accident on that part, do you think? No. We all come from one blood, and we'll all be saved by one blood. You can't choose your way of salvation. It comes through only the blood of Jesus Christ. Acts 17, 24 through 27 is where this happened. The God who made the world and all the things in it. Now remember who Paul, Jew, is speaking to here. Those men in Athens. The God who made the world and all the things in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one blood, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him, and what? And find him. Ask, seek, and knock. And each one of those is a heightened responsibility. When it first starts with the ask, and then it gets greater to seeking, and then finally you found it, you know where it's at, it's on the other side, and we are knocking at it to get through its door. And that is hope of salvation, that we may grope for him and that we may find him. Why is that? Because as they tell us there, though he is not far from us, he is not far from us. All he is one obedient heartbeat away from being your Lord and Savior when you turn your life over to him and do what he asks. We are reminded in Scripture in many different places. I'm going to look at a couple here. But differences should not cause division, but they should cause unity. If we do things the Bible way, if we do things the scriptural way, differences should not cause division, but unity. And I guess that depends on what our grand scheme and our grand scope of is what we're looking at. Paul reminded us of how the body is made up of all the same parts. No. Paul reminded us that the body was made up of different parts. And he tells us how all the differences is what makes us beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. That we're grateful that we're all not an ear. Or that we're all not a hand. And yet we see that as Jesus taught, as Peter even had his special revelation, as Paul went on to proclaim the same thing, that even the follower of Jesus Christ himself, the one that brought the sermon on the day of Pentecost that opened the message up along with the other 11 to the whole world, at that point just the Jews, but as we see, would come farther, Peter forgot about, I mean, we always say, boy, if I just had an experience, right? Have you ever had that conversation with somebody, right? If I just had an experience, it would change my life forever and I'd never go back. Peter had an experience, and when he got away from those that believed the same thing, so did he. Remember the experience he had with the sheep, as we had already made reference of? And yet, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2 that when Peter got around all of those Jews from Antioch again, he forgot all about that great vision that the Lord gave him. And so when people say, oh, if I just had a vision, it would change my life. Really? It may change it for the moment, but it takes, as Paul said, that we have to work at it daily to do these things. Galatians chapter 2, we're going to read that passage of Scripture where Paul calls out Cephas or calls out Peter for his error. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him face to face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof. So did Peter know the difference? He's trying to be a man pleaser instead of a God pleaser. And he himself was even the one that said that earlier in the book of Acts, that we must obey God rather than, and he still stumbled with it. Began to withdraw himself and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, acting like somebody else, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. See what happens when one stumbles? It leads others down a path of stumbling, and it can, unless we know and understand what needs to happen as far as staying true to the Word of God. That's why we need to rely on each other to help in that aspect, not to draw one another away. But I think we are reminded as well in Matthew chapter 25 that whatever we do, we should do it for all. Whatever we do, we should do it for all. Now, I don't think I've got this one on our sheet. It's a rather long text. Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 46. But I think we've looked at it enough that if I start to talk to you about it, you're going to, oh yeah, I remember. Remember, Jesus is talking about a time that will come, and he starts off by saying, when all the nations will be gathered before him. Did anybody not understand that one? When who? All the nations will be gathered before him. Remember, he says he's going to separate them as a shepherd does, and the sheep and the goats. And then he goes on and tells that, you know, as you took care of me when you gave me water, when you gave me clothes, when you gave me food, then you did that to me. And they said, well, we didn't know when you did, when we never saw you, we never did that. And he says, but if you did that to anyone else, or if you didn't do that, do you all remember that passage of Scripture? And who's he talking about there? Everybody again. Everybody. He didn't pick out anybody special. He said everybody's special. And so whatever we do, whatever we think, we need to operate in the mind, like the mind of God, where we all matter. Now, we all have in our minds someone that we would like to see become a Christian, do we not? We just pick out one person that, you know, but you know what would solve that? You know how your prayer would come true, and your prayer would come true, and your prayer would come true, and your prayer would come, and my prayer would come true? Is if everyone became a Christian, right? Now, we know that Scripture's told us that that's not going to happen. And so that's why we do pray for someone specific. But do you ever pray for someone specific and then not know who that person is? It's happened, right? We can pray for someone specific and have never met them before, right? And we'll get to that here in just a little moment as we finish up this text. Because Jesus says in verse 45, then he will answer them, truly I say to you that the extent that you did not do it to the least of one of these, you did not do it to me. And he says that these will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You know, as Christians, we have more in common, okay? As Christians, we have more in common with Benson Amole and Asinja Robert Mathoma, right? Now, hold on here. I'm gonna say something, and as I said, well, you said you weren't going to get political, okay? I'm just using something as a fact. We have more in common this evening with Benson Amole and Asinja Robert Mathoma than we do Donald Trump. But he's the president of the United States. He's our president. But you know, and I pray for him, and I pray that he would be obedient to Jesus Christ, that he is a Christian, but I don't know that. I do know these ones that we've come to know here recently, brothers in Christ, because they've been obedient to the Bible. Galatians 3:28 is a reminder to us as Paul writes this. And just remember, as he's writing that letter, and we already looked at Galatians chapter 2, as he's writing Galatians 3, there was no chapter breaks, there was no verses. So this would all flow a lot better if we didn't have the chapter breaks in here. But he says, it's just a reminder that there is neither Jew nor Greek, that there is neither slave nor free man, that there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, as we look at that, obviously, and I honestly believe there are those today in the world that try. I've taught people this, and as this verse has specific direction in our teaching lessons that they wanted to talk about, because they'll say, well, see right there, it says, talks about transgenderism. Why? Because they'll say, because it says there is no male, there is no female, right? And now we start to look, and then that's when I say, well, let's go back, just as we did at the beginning of this lesson, and we talk about the equality issue that was severed in the garden. But we also learn a lot of things from what happened in the garden, and we know that Jesus said that they created them male and female. No third option. No third option. Have you noticed, and I've been kind of thankful, and I think it was Michaela that pointed this out to us one Sunday afternoon at our, stimulating conversations that we have, is that one good thing that the pandemic has done is it's done away with all these different genders, because the only thing they talk about is how many men have died and how many women have died. Huh, yeah, things that make you go, right? The family of God is not based on the identity. If the family of God is not based on the identity of Jesus Christ, and it then is not based on anything that we should bring to the table. And when we look at that, and that's where I, I remember the words of Don Cooper over and over again. Don't find your identity in anything on this earth. Find your identity in Jesus Christ. Heaven is the place where we're all planning to go one day. Okay, thanks. I was like, all right. It wasn't a joke, you know. There's no punchline there. It's heaven's the place we're planning on going one day. There we go, correct? Heaven will look more like what God's word tells us it's going to look like than what we have imagined in our mind. Have you tried to imagine what heaven would look like? I have. They even try to give us some indication of that in the book of Revelation, as John shares that. But I do think that heaven, and this is my personal opinion, so take it to the curb if you want. But I believe that heaven will be like many of our answered prayers that we've got on this earth. And by that I mean, and I think maybe you've been there, I know I've been there. Have you ever prayed for something and you try to get real specific in your prayers on how the Lord should take care of this problem, right? And then when he answers it, he takes care of it way better than you even thought. And so what I'm saying is, so when it comes to heaven, do you want it to be settled on your imagination, or do you want it to be based on God's imagination? Let's go with God's imagination, right? Right? I think that's going to be far better. The Apostle John gives us a glimpse of what heaven is going to look like. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10 says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count. To me, that's exciting. Because we're talking about those people in heaven. And we see a number. So what does that say about those that say that there's 144,000? I can count that high, right? Hal's like, now come on, give me a break. We're equal right now. And now you're trying to... Oh. Anyway, so we got the great multitude that no one could count. It says there, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. Who are we talking about there? Who are we talking about there? What does it say? What do we know about that? We are talking about Christians. We are talking about those that are in heaven. And it doesn't pick them out from any continent that they're on, right? Doesn't go into any detail of that other than they're going to be from every nation, every tribe, all peoples, and all tongues. And we're standing before them, and it'll be just like that video George played, Brother George played on Wednesday night, that will be no misunderstanding. What did he say? Sinja said, was my accent okay? And George was like, yeah, your accent was right on. You know, those things are going to be a moot point. Because every nation, all tribes, all peoples and tongues. So even if they speak different than we do, God says, don't worry, I got this. Clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, all of them together in unison. You want to chant something? Let's chant this. Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen? If you have been in the church for any amount of time, then you probably have this next verse memorized. But the problem is, when we learn something when we're very young, we fail to think about it then. And I think sometimes that's the difficulty when we teach our young ones the plan of salvation. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but I'm saying we got to teach them the meaning of the plan of salvation, because they know the words, they know what to say, but they don't really know what they mean. And as we see this, I think it's the same thing, and that's John 3:16. The tie I was wearing this morning has that passage of Scripture on it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We learn right away in this passage of Scripture, maybe the most popular verse in all the world. No, it was at one time, if it's not now. But there is no distinction given about who God loves and does not love. What does he say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have eternal. So what's that tell us? It tells me, who does God love? God loves us all. God loves all. So as we close this evening, the words of the Apostle Paul ring in my ears as he shared to the group of people that were probably much like us. And maybe we just all need to be reminded of it from time to time. And maybe there's a group of people that we come in contact with that have forgot it, like Peter. Maybe there's a group of people that have never heard it. And we know that there are those that have never heard it. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 says, and Paul talking here is talking about Jesus, and he said, and he died for all. For what reason? So that they may live, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. It goes back to what we looked at in 2 Corinthians our text at the end, the beginning in James chapter 2. There we go. Where it said the royal law, we talked about that, and it said that you shall love your neighbor as yourself, so that they might live, or so those who live might no longer live for themselves, but we actually live for somebody else. First of all, Jesus Christ. And second of all, to bring others to him. But for him who died and rose again on their behalf, for he did, remember the equality situation that was broke at the beginning? He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. So here, live for Christ. Serve Christ. Serve others. For this is really what God desires of us all. Of us all. And when I say that, I'm even talking beyond these walls. I'm talking beyond this country. I'm talking around the world. God desires this of all, is that we seek his Son, that we serve him, and when we serve him like we should, we'll serve others. There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scripture that tells us that we need to believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that we need to repent of our sins, that we need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, that we need to be baptized, have our sins washed away, and that we need to be faithful, live a faithful life for him. Each and every one of us will stumble. Each and every one of us will fall. But that's why we serve a merciful, loving, gracious God that wants for us to do our best to serve him, to serve one another. He's calling us softly, tenderly. He's calling us. He's calling us softly and tenderly now, but one day, as we look this morning, that trumpet's going to sound and a great shout is going to come. But for now, he's calling us softly. He's calling us tenderly. Will you come to him now? Will you stand with us and sing?